I've heard it said that politics and patriotism are two sides of the same coin. Citizenship is like currency. You get what you pay for. When we insist on getting something for nothing, we risk being cheated. Today, we find ourselves in a situation where people demand political benefit without patriotic service. The simple fact of the matter is that good citizenship really is hard. Don't kid yourself. They serve us, or we will serve them. Hello, I'm Justin Oldham, and you're listening to an ATS member podcast. For the next 10 minutes, I'll be talking to you about a wide variety of things, to include some of my thoughts on recent events, and I'll be catching you up a little bit on some of what I've been doing behind the scenes. At the time of my last podcast, there was some doubt as to whether or not the U.S. economy was going into recession. Now, with the dollar at an all-time low, there doesn't really seem to be any more doubt. The American housing market is in shambles. Our financial system is coming apart at the seams. Personal credit is in the process of drying up. And the recent government financing of the Bear Stearns buyout has me concerned. In the last 30 days, the United States Federal Treasury has spent a combined total of $260 billion to try and stop, or just plain put off the economic recession that we all know is coming. Now, this does not include the $165 billion that the president has allotted for his economic stimulus package. Now, the whole thing works out to $400 billion in change that's gone on the national credit card. The Bush administration is now so desperate to make sure that the economy doesn't tank on their watch that they're willing to do any stupid thing that they think will buy them a few more days, a few more weeks, hopefully another financial quarter. Now, as aggravating as that is, let's stop for a minute and think about what comes next. In January of 2009, January 20th to be specific, a Democrat will be sworn in as the next president of these United States. At that time, the Democrats will also have decisive majorities in the House and the Senate. So, what are they going to do? Since the days of its founding, the Democratic Party has been the chief proponent of big government. These are the guys who think that Uncle Sam really does know what's best for you. Rather than just let this economic recession happen so that we can get the pain over with and out of our system and learn from the mistakes and make the banking reforms and move on, these guys are going to raise your taxes, they're going to grow the size of government, and they're going to tell you that it's all for your own good. The simple fact of the matter is that President Bush should have simply allowed this recession to happen. If he had done so, it might have happened 2 years ago when the debt loads were much smaller. It's my opinion that if he had done so, we would probably be seeing the light at the end of the tunnel right now, and we would know that it was the potential for recovery instead of an oncoming train. As individual citizens, we have to face the fact that this recession could lead to something much worse. It could ultimately lead to depression. Now, here's why I think that's possible. In the not-too-distant future, the federal government is going to find it much harder to get the kind of creative financing it needs to underwrite the wars in Iraq or the stimulus packages or anything else that Uncle Sam wants to spend money on. As the housing market continues to slide, personal credit is also going to come apart at the seams. Within 2 years, housing prices will have sunk low enough for you to be able to afford one, but ta-da, you won't be able to get a housing loan because you won't have the credit score, and hey, guess what, you won't even have the credit cards. Now, on top of all this, we've got the stone-cold reality to face that Bear Stearns is not the only major financial institution here in the United States that's going to go under. The firms that make their money in hedge fund management and capital speculation are going to discover that they've got more of this bad debt than they can possibly shift off on anybody else, and even with moderate profits, they're still not going to be able to cover their losses. So what are they going to do? They're going to do like Bear Stearns. They're going to keep going to the Fed. Eventually, Uncle Sam is going to have to pull the liners out of his pockets and say, hey, guys, can't help you anymore. I think many of the analysts are right. It's not unreasonable to expect at this point that gold could catapult to $2,000 an ounce. But hey, who are we kidding? Who's got the money to spend $1,000 an ounce on gold right now anyway? The real barometer, in my opinion, for the future of economic collapse would be, for the average guy, the price of oil. It's currently holding at around $100, and it's been recently up to $112. Well, by the time we hit the summer driving season, you're going to see that spike to $130. It's important to remember that the price of oil is artificially high right now because speculators are keeping it that way, and oil companies are deliberately doing everything in their power to keep their stockpiles low. They want to keep their refining capacity low, and they want to marginalize the amount of product that actually goes to market. They've become addicted to the high price, the high profit potential, and they simply don't want to go back to anything less. As you can tell, the quality of this podcast has improved remarkably. In recent weeks, I've upgraded my computer technology. I've come into possession of new software, new microphones, and I've had a lot of training. My hope is that from now on, I will be able to provide you with a better sounding product, and hopefully maybe a few sound effects every now and then again. I have to admit that the 2008 presidential race has turned out to be much more interesting to me than I ever thought it would. This thing has had more twists and turns than your favorite soap opera. I don't like dynasties, and for that one singular reason, I have no interest in seeing Hillary Clinton become our next president. As stated in previous podcasts, I think she's too power-hungry, and her agenda is not going to be something that'll be good for this country, certainly not in the long run. Like many of you, I've been following the rise of John McCain, and I've got to say, I'm very impressed. This is a guy who has kept his eye on the prize, in spite of the fact that he's been kicked while down. It's ironic to me that the guy that conservative radio hates so much could have a real shot at winning the presidency just because the Democratic Party is so fractured at this time. Why do I think John McCain would be good for the country? Well, it boils down to just one thing. This is a guy who is repentant. If it's at all possible for a politician to be reformed, I think he is. I think that he has learned to re-embrace the idea of small government. I think that he understands implicitly now that his political future is tied to the potential for him to deliver on his promise of budget cutting and bureaucracy reduction. These are two things that I really think we need right now, especially in light of the possibility of a serious economic downturn. When things get difficult, you and I have to cut back our spending. We trim off the entertainment budget, you know, we maybe don't buy so much beer, we don't go out to dinner very often, we cut back. Now is the time, more than ever, for the federal government to cut back on its wasteful ways. Ultimately, I don't think John McCain is going to win the 08 race. The casualty count in Iraq has recently passed 4,000. By the time we go to the polls in November, the economy will be in much worse shape. It's an accepted fact that Americans vote with their hearts during the primaries, but when they go to vote in the general election, we always vote with our wallets. The Republicans are cursed with an unpopular war and a failing economy. Donald Rumsfeld and Alberto Gonzalez are not in the news right now, but we haven't forgotten about them. We also haven't forgotten about the fact that the Iraq War and, to a certain extent, the Afghanistan campaign have both been poorly managed. All of these Republican failings will serve to give us some very bitter food for thought. I'm Justin Oldham, and you've been listening to an ATS member podcast.